Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. You know, Wisconsin has emerged as a national leader in youth garden education. And we're going to talk about how children and communities are benefiting from school garden programs. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today. A couple of guests for you from the Rooted organization. First, Sarah Carlson, the farm and education manager. She manages Badger Rock Urban Farms and Badger Rock Community Garden and provides gardening and culinary-based education opportunities. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Great to have you with us. And I'm also happy to have Nathan Larson with us. Nathan's program director of the Cultivate Health Initiative, a joint public health project of Rooted and the UW-Madison Environmental Design Lab to grow and sustain the school garden network and movement in Wisconsin. Nathan, welcome to you.
Thanks, Larry. It's good to be here.
Yeah, good to have you here. What are your experiences as you listen to these two talk? I hope you'll join in. What are your experiences with school garden education? What questions do you have? Maybe how do you get a school garden going in your community? Love to hear from you. Give us a call at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. And Nathan, let's start with you. Tell us about Rooted.
Yeah, Rooted is a nonprofit here in Madison that's we work in food production and education, and our focus is equitable access to land and fresh food, and a lot of our programs are community-based and community-driven. Our two main sites, we have a site on the south side, Badger Rock Neighborhood Center, and on the north side, Troy Gardens and Farm. And we also support regional work with many different partners, for example, a community gardens network for Dane County, and a farm to early care and education program statewide, as well as the Wisconsin School Garden Network statewide program, which is also supported by...
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, I was just going to say that one jointly, as you mentioned, but supported by the UW-Madison Environmental Design Lab.
So what are your responsibilities with Rooted?
My work is working on the supporting that Wisconsin School Garden Network initiative. And I have a joint position at Rooted and at the UW-Madison Environmental Design Lab, which is in the Department of Planning and Landscape Architecture. And our work is really about growing that movement. When we started the project, we're funded by the Wisconsin Partnership Program at the School of Medicine and Public Health. And we received $1 million, which really was a big affirmation for the importance of school gardens and garden-based education in improving childhood health and supporting well-being. And we have this focus on health equity, really trying to grow school gardens around the state and working with many partners to do that work. When we started, there was about 200 gardens we were aware of, and now we have over 800 gardens, which is the most documented gardens, garden education programs of any state in the country. So we're pretty excited about what's happening in Wisconsin.
Yeah, that is really cool. Sarah, talk about what you do with Rooted and your work.
Sure. So I'm the farm and education manager at Badger Rock. The Badger Rock Neighborhood Center is the home to the Badger Rock Urban Farm, which is about 2 acres of land. We have an educational production farm. We have a 45-family community garden. And we are also the home to Badger Rock Middle School, which is a public charter middle school with a focus on sustainability, urban agriculture, and social justice. So we provide garden-based education to the middle school students, as well as to community gardeners, as well as to different community partners. So really, we're creating kind of a pathway of garden-based education all the way from preschool-age kids all the way up through adults is our goal here at Badger Rock. And our other goal is to be what this community would like us to be. So we are all about community engagement and relationship building and listening to the people in our neighborhood to hear what they would like us to be. So people wanted a place to grow their own food, that the community garden was in response to that. People wanted a place to purchase fresh produce. So our production farm is in response to that. We have a community market in normal times where we have a farm stand that students are invited to run if they would like to. As a COVID pivot, we switched to distributing our produce through a food pantry model. So, you know, we also have a youth employment program. Last season, we had 8 youth employed, and this season, we will have 10. And they are, they have been employed here even during COVID times, which has been an amazing connection. All but one of our youth are Badger Rock Middle School alumni. So these are youth who have spent 3 years already working with us in garden-based education and have decided that they would like to stick around. So the benefits they get from that are a paycheck. That's huge for our youth. They have been able to socialize even during COVID times. We have set up staggered work shifts, so we only have 2 to 3 youth here at a time with social distancing and masking and all of our COVID protocols in place. And also they are, as part of their work here, they are contributing to food security in their own neighborhood by growing the produce that is distributed through our food pantry and also helping prepare the groceries for the families who pick up from our food pantry. And some of our youth, their families are also community gardeners here and also benefit from being recipients of our food pantry. So it's all connected. You know, one of our youth, he said recently that he would like to have our assistant farm manager's job one day. So we're hoping that, you know, that these youth will get hooked into this world of garden-based education and, you know, continue to manifest it in their lives in whatever ways they choose. One of our youth also, her mother is a community gardener and her grandmother is a community gardener here. And just seeing 3 generations of women out in the garden learning together and sharing skills has been amazing. And during COVID times, we've also pivoted to a virtual learning models. So we provide virtual workshops for community of all ages. We do a weekly garden workshop and a weekly cooking workshop from the Badger Rock Neighborhood Center Facebook page. Those are live streams that we post as video afterwards. And we also are teaching a virtual garden class to Badger Rock Middle School students and providing a kit each week to students who'd like to participate so that they can cook and garden alongside us at home. And one of the really neat things that has come of our youth employment program is a couple of our youth employees have been helping teach that class, actually. So that's been a great opportunity for youth, cultivating youth leadership. And, you know, the way that we do education here is very much youth-led. So we follow the interests of our youth and the passions of our youth, and we go there with them. So some of our youth are really interested in beekeeping. We have honeybees here. Some of our youth are really interested in animal husbandry. They can learn how to tend backyard chickens. We have chickens here at Badger Rock. We have fruit trees. So if any of our youth are interested in learning to tend fruit trees, that's a possibility. And we do cooking along with all of our garden-based education. And many of our youth are very interested in cooking. One of our youth employees, who is very passionate about cooking, kind of spearheaded an effort this season during COVID to make a bunch of value-added products that we then sold as a fundraiser to raise funds to purchase the materials for the garden class kits that we provide to the middle school students. So he made and canned tomato sauce, hot sauce, applesauce. We processed honey that we distributed from our bees. And those kind of things are things that we offer our youth as opportunities for learning and also to engage with the community in a real way and provide them with skills that they can take forward into the future. And with our educational programming, too, I should say we invite community members in as much as possible to lead the workshops and share their skills with each other, because this Badger Rock community is so rich in knowledge and expertise and skills in so many different areas. We're all teachers. You know, part of my role is facilitating so that community members can teach one another, youth can teach one another, and I can also, but we are all learning from each other in this community. So those are some of the things that we do with Badger Rock in a nutshell. There's a lot going on here, and we've kept it very active even during COVID times with our community gardeners, our youth, our food distribution, so in our virtual program.
Well, Sarah, you've kind of got my head spinning. I'm thinking, you'd have to have hundreds of employees to carry all these activities out.
We definitely do not have hundreds of employees. We're a very small staff, but we are mighty. So it's me and my farm and education, my assistant farm and education manager, Bronte. Hetty is, Lamar Rudd is our neighborhood center director. Kip Thomas is our kitchen manager. And that is kind of the Badger Rock main working team. So we're small but mighty. And like I said, the community is very involved here as well. So the community in a way is part of our staff.
Well, I certainly love the enthusiasm that both of you have, and I love this hearing about all of the things that are going on. Nathan Larson, Program Director of the Cultivate Health Initiative, the Joint Public Health Project of Rooted and UW-Madison Environmental Design Lab, and Sarah Carlson, Farm and Education Manager at Rooted. She manages Badger Rock Urban Farm and Badger Rock Community Gardens. And we're going to hear some more from both of them. And I hope you'll join in with your own questions and comments as we move along. You can reach us at 1-800-642-1234 or email us to ideas@wpr.org. We'll take a quick look at the news and find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. Then we'll be back with Nathan and Sarah. Thanks for listening. I'm Larry Mueller. Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here talking about garden-based education on the show today with two guests, Nathan Larson, one of them, Program Director of the Cultivate Health Initiative. It's a joint public health project of Rooted and the UW-Madison Environmental Design Lab. And Sarah Carlson, Farm and Education Manager at Rooted. She manages Badger Rock Urban Farm and Badger Rock Community Garden. As we talk with them, what would you like to know maybe about bringing a school garden to your community? Love to hear from you. Give us a call at 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. And you know what? If you're a part of a school garden project, I'd love to hear your own experiences too. So join in with those comments as well. Well, Nathan, let's talk more about the Wisconsin School Garden Network and the resources that are available out there for educators.
Yeah, there's a lot of great resources. And I wanted to just highlight, too, that we're coming up on a very important day, which is Wisconsin School Garden Day. That'll be on May 20th. And that's one of the things that people can find on the website, which is wischoolgardens.org. There's information about how to get involved in Wisconsin School Garden Day. And really, it's a day for celebration and storytelling. The website also features a searchable database of free resources of all different types, from curricular resources to grant resources for school garden programs across the state. And I should mention, too, that that the school garden community is larger than schools. It's also early care and education centers and garden-based education programs at after-school sites and other community sites across the state. There's also links to a number of our different partner organizations, so links to a lot of great webinars, including one of our main partners is the School Garden Support Organization, which has a lot of great resources. There's many other organizations we partner with that have a lot of great resources, and it's the type of community that just really shares different kinds of resources that educators might find helpful. We also mentioned one last thing is that we have a course called Teaching in Nature's Classroom, which is a course around garden-based education. It's a free course. And registration is live right now if folks are interested. We offer it in the summer, fall, and winter. So we just opened up the summer registration, and that you can find information about that on the website as well.
And again, the website is?
wischoolgardens.org.
I'm wondering about children who are homeschooled. Can they be involved, or how could they be involved?
Yeah, absolutely. There are a lot of options for students that are homeschooled, and certainly also during the COVID-19 pandemic, a lot of students have been learning virtually. So there are a lot of great ways to get connected, especially now because there's so many, as Sarah was talking about, the kind of programming that's provided virtually. There's a lot of educators are creating lessons that are you can access online. And then some organizations are even putting kits together. So you can have garden kits at home. So you can be planting things at home and pairing that with the lessons that are delivered online.
Nathan, sorry.
Oh, I'd neglected to remember. I just wanted to mention that there's also a Wisconsin School Garden map on the website that people can check out, because really the genesis of the network is connecting educators with each other so they can share ideas and resources and different school garden communities. So that's another great resource you can check out there is Wisconsin School Garden map.
I think you said in the beginning, it must be a big map because there's 800 different gardens involved. And are those all schools?
Well, it's a range. Many are schools, but there are also early care and education sites, so preschools and child care centers and community sites. But yeah, it's impressive to look at the map. It really is a significant and remarkable community of garden-based education programs across the state. And you can also filter it through. So if you want to just look at, for example, elementary school sites or high school sites, there's quite a few high school sites too. A lot of times I think people think of school gardens, they think of elementary schools, but middle and high school programs are also very, very active.
I wonder if thinking about high schools, for example, I wonder if organizations like FFA get involved at the high school level in these kinds of things.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of great FFA involvement in school gardens and also school farms as well. One of the events happening at Wisconsin School Garden Day is Allison Dairyland, who is connected with the Department of Agriculture, is visiting school garden sites across the state. And she started at Vinton High School in Milwaukee, which has an outstanding farm program, agricultural program.
I'm wondering what, as for those who might say, well, our school doesn't have one. I wonder what we would need, what kind of property we would need, or can we do it on the school grounds? There's probably all kinds of questions like that that come up.
Absolutely. And that's the beautiful thing about school gardens is it really is, you can really, you don't have to have lots of space. You don't even have to have outdoor space. Some people do indoor, aquaponic systems or other kind of vertical growing systems. And have very, if you have more space, yeah, it's just really neat programs. If you have more space, people do larger scale programming. Our youth farm project here in Madison, young people grow 3,000 pounds of food a year at that program. So you can have just all kinds of scales. And there's just a lot of ways to plug in. I should mention, too, that we're funded to support educators in a lot of different ways in school communities. We provide free workshops and free technical assistance. So please give us a call or send us an email if you're interested in talking through our garden projects.
Yeah. And when I'm thinking about gardens, I'm thinking, well, let's see, tomatoes, onions. Sarah, what kinds of things, what all gets grown at your shop? And then maybe we could talk about just generally speaking across the state.
Yeah, that's a great question. So the way that we decide what we grow at Badger Rock is what the students would like to grow or people in our educational programs would like to grow. And also what our community would like to see at our farm stand. So some of the most popular crops that we grow are collard greens, mustard greens, turnip greens, okra. those are just some really popular ones in our community. So again, we listen to what our community would like, and we try to grow the things that our community would like to eat. I should say too, our students are always invited to take produce home with them. So they're getting produce home to their families, along with recipes for a lot of different dishes that we cook in our culinary arts programming. So Bronte and I partner with Kip Thomas, who is our kitchen manager, and he runs a soul food business out of the Badger Rock Kitchen. He is a chef and has been a chef as his career for many, many years. So he also partners with us in our children as a professional chef how to cook. So students also go home with a cookbook every semester that they can then use at home to make the things that we've made in the garden classes at school.
I bet those garden classes are, the food ones are popular. I'd like to be involved in one of those. I think they would be a lot of fun and some good food involved in it.
Yes, they're a lot of fun. And let me tell you, there is a line of students not in the class lined up outside the door to see if we have extras almost every day. So the food is definitely a big hook. Especially middle schoolers, you know, they're always hungry. So, so we feed them with the produce that they've grown from their own garden. And students also bring in recipes from home from their own cultural foodways. So we have our student population is very diverse, and they bring with them a diversity of cultural foodways, crops they like to grow, and recipes they'd like to make. So it's a way for students to share with each other, too.
Oh, I want to talk a bit, and maybe Nathan, you can visit on this a little bit. You know, the garden season, you know, the probably perhaps the most productive part of a garden season is when school's not in session. So just talk about the planning and kind of what needs to happen. I can see in Sarah's case with her group, I mean, they've got something going year-round. They got people there year-round. But typically, what do you need to get something like that going? Mm-hmm. And then how does a garden grow through the summer when the students aren't there?
Yeah, that's definitely a perennial issue for a lot of school garden programs. I think some of the strategies people have used are really community partnerships, which in general is just a best practice for schools, you know, supporting school gardens is really trying to make that school garden an active place for a lot of different people to get involved. And that way you might have programs that might use like an after school program or a summer program might use that site. So youth are still getting to keep that connection to the garden, their garden over the summer. There are also family engagement kind of program where you might have a family might sign up for a weekly volunteer shift to come and water the plants and take care of the garden. Other people do sort of just do the crop planning. So you just design, you know, if there's really nobody around during the summer, you work on a drip, you know, some kind of a time drip irrigation system. So, you know, your plants are getting water and, you know, a teacher doesn't have to be showing up to the garden, you know, throughout the summer, their time off, hard earned time off. So, and then you've just mulched well and you've got, you know, you kind of plan the crop so that you get a little more of the harvest coming in as students return in the fall. And then oftentimes people try to get a good spring crop in too.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. You can get a pretty good spring crop in, well, maybe not everywhere in Wisconsin, but well, I think most everywhere. There's ways to do it, I'm pretty sure, even if it's cold.
Yeah, and a lot of the programs up in northern Wisconsin and elsewhere too are utilizing hoop houses or high tunnels or greenhouses or aquaponic systems. So that a way to kind of really extend the season. I know Sarah does some good season extension strategies.
Yeah, at Badger Rock, we have two hoop houses. We have a heated greenhouse, and we have done educational aquaponics and hydroponics. We also recently partnered with Fork Farm and Community Action Coalition to have a hydroponic growing tower to grow lettuce year round. So we do gardening year round here at Badger Rock, definitely. And, you know, storage crops, you can cook year round, no matter if you have a garden outside or not. So that's a piece that we continue year round, as well as, you know, in the winter, we do building projects. The students helped us build all of the raised beds for our community gardens. Students do art projects to, we made a Badger Rock Urban Farm sign with mosaics and a Badger Rock Community Garden sign. We get really creative in the winter, and we do manage to grow some food all year round as well.
You can join in too, by the way. A question or a comment or maybe an experience to share with our guests. Love to hear from you at 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us to ideas@wpr.org. ideas@wpr.org. I love this May 20th, the official Wisconsin School Garden Day. And why, well, in your mind, why was it important to get that kind of recognition, Nathan?
Yeah, I think we just wanted to have, you know, we felt it was important to have a day where we really, as I said earlier, celebrate school gardens and have a chance to do storytelling and really, you know, I think a lot of people work hard in their school gardens year round, and it's nice to connect with people across the state that are doing that similar work. And we asked, so the other thing is that it's by governor's proclamation. So Governor Evers signs a proclamation every year declaring it Wisconsin School Garden Day. And the other piece of that there is just wanting to build up the profile of garden-based education in our state. And so we've gotten a lot of great responses from the governor and as well as legislators around the state as well.
Yeah, I would think this would be... I can't imagine there'd be too much in the way of politics involved in a program like this.
Yeah, I think a lot of people. Yeah,
I don't care if you're whatever your political leanings.
Absolutely. Yeah, I feel like a lot of people may not be aware of a school garden, but once somebody visits one, usually they see how great they are.
Yeah. Well, talk about the, you said there were two, you know, there's two gardens here in the Madison area, for example. Talk about the growth I was trying to remember, you're in the Badger Rock Urban Farm and Rock Community Garden. What about the other Madison Garden?
Yeah, there's school gardens throughout the Madison Metropolitan School District that have some very longstanding ones too. A couple that have been around for more than 20 years, a number of them actually. And then we have on the north side at Troy Gardens, we got the Troy Kids Garden, which was founded in 2001. So that's been around for about 20 years at this point as well. And that's been that sort of serves as a regional school and community youth garden. So that garden has really been built in partnership with community centers and neighborhood centers like Goodman Community Center and Vera Court Neighborhood Center are two partners that we've worked with, Northport Community Learning Center. And that's as similar to as Sarah described, you know, these gardens really are built, you know, they're co-created with young people, and it's the kids' garden, you know, it really is their garden. And that's really important to us, you know, is that we support that kind of, you know, that the adults involved are really trying to work with youth, you know, to really, you know, think about what youth want to have there, what they want to grow there, what kind of experiences. And they're often very vibrant, fun places too. I was going to mention on as far as cooking too, that a lot of times there are a lot of gardens have cooking in the garden. And often it involves things like bike-powered blenders. So we're hopping on and making fresh garden pesto in the spring or salsa in the summer. And it's just a very vibrant, fun place, you know.
And, you know, I'm thinking about this. It's 20, and I can remember a long time back talking about when the Madison Gardens, maybe when they were just, you know, sort of in their infancy. And I'm thinking now about, 20 years has gone by, and some of those people that were first involved in the program, I'm wondering if they come back, or maybe they're almost in a situation where they could have their kids coming back and being involved in it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we're also seeing young people that were, you know, got involved in a program in fifth grade, maybe are now working, you know, are part of the garden staff too. Which, you know, Sarah was talking about that as well, that there's just, you know, a lot of opportunities for people to keep being engaged.
Yeah. Sarah, what's your message to those out there who are maybe thinking about possibly having a garden, or saying, well, why should I have one? And, my, you know, it sounds like a lot of work to me. What's your message to them?
I would say the work is worth it, and that it's less about having a school gardens are less about having a perfect garden than having a positive experience for youth and having opportunities for youth to engage in outdoor education in whatever way you can hook them. So, you know, as I mentioned at Badger Rock, we don't just garden. We do cooking. We do art. We do building projects. We follow the youth's lead. And just to get back to Wisconsin School Garden Day, you know, the very first annual school garden, we work with Nathan to invite Representative Sheila Stubbs here to Badger Rock to come out and check out our school garden. And we had a group of youth give her a tour. And we just gave the youth the full reins, and they took her around and they showed her everything that they were interested in and excited about. And it is amazing every time we do that with the youth to hear how much they know and how excited they are about different things. You know, sometimes with middle schoolers, it can be tricky in the moment to know what's hooking them because they might not tell you. But when they are interfacing with us, you know, Representative Sheila Stubbs, mm-hmm. they are kind of amazed that there's an adult in a position of authority who is interested in what they are doing. And they really just stepped up in such a beautiful way and shared their skills and their expertise and their knowledge and their passion with her. So I would say, you know, if you let the youth lead, if you have weeds in your school garden because you don't have enough labor to keep it weed-free, don't stress it. It's not about the weeds. It's about the learning opportunities, and it's about the food, and it's about the community engagement. So that's what I would say to that.
Michelle was wondering, how do you recruit kids who aren't interested, you know, or may not even know they might be interested, and we're maybe in the next 40 seconds you can tell us that.
Yeah, I mean, word of mouth is really the way to go. When I first started at Badger Rock, we had 6 kids in this garden class. And by the second year, every kid in the school was choosing it as their first choice. So, you know, the gardening class doesn't sound very flashy to middle school youth at first necessarily. But once you get them hooked into all the different possibilities, you can teach and do anything with the garden as your classroom. Then you will hook them. So, or you can.
There we go. That's the way to do it. I tell you what, it's been fun talking with you. Thank you both so much for being with us. You're doing great work, and it is much appreciated. Thank you, Nathan. Thank you, Sarah. Appreciate it. Nathan Larson, Program Director of the Cultivate Health Initiative. Sarah Carlson, Farm and Education Manager at Rooted. And thanks much to them for being with us today. Tomorrow we'll take a look at home improvement with our regular guest, Chad Spate. In the meantime, thank you for listening. Stay with us. Lots more in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.